بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I'm sure all of us have had this experience where we look into a bright source of light. Not a very good idea to do that, because it can, depending on the intensity of the light, you can actually permanently damage your eyes. So I don't recommend that to anybody. But if it happens, somebody, the lights of a car, suddenly headlights are turned on and you look into them, or some bright halogen lamp or something, then for a short time you cannot see, you get blinded, you can't see anything else. And even if you look away, you will still see only that light. You see the flash of the light in your eyes, you can't see anything else. This is the state of those who are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Because when the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu's glory and majesty fills their perception, then they are immune to everything else around them. Nothing else around them affects them. When I go to Sri Lanka, to the game parks, to Yala, Vilpattu and all that, one of the things you almost invariably see, especially if you are arriving at the park either fairly early in the morning or later in the evening, is elephants on the road. The Sri Lankan version, variety of the Asian elephant is the largest. Of all the Asian elephants, the Sri Lankan variety is the biggest. So you see these huge animals on the road, and they're perfectly, they are wild elephants, but they've sort of got almost domesticated. So they are on the road, walking around. And the other thing you see is a lot of dogs, village dogs, who are barking. But you see this elephant, he's going his way. He doesn't engage with the dogs, he doesn't turn around and ask them what they want from him. He's not concerned about, how many thumbs up or thumbs down the dogs are giving him on Facebook. He's not concerned about their opinion. He is going his way, because he has some focus in his mind, where he wants to reach. The rest of the world doesn't bother him, doesn't concern him, he couldn't care less. The reason I'm saying this is because when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a beautiful hadith, a Qudsi. Part of that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if I did not create Jannah and Jahannam, was I not worthy of worship? Allah says, the meaning of which is, if I had not created Jannah or Jahannam, was I not worthy of worship? And that is why the famous saying of Rabia Basriya Rahmatullah Alayha, where she said, "O Allah, if I am worshipping you for Jannah, do not give me Jannah. If I am worshipping you for the fear of the fire, then put me in the fire. I worship you because only you are worthy of worship." Now, it is not prohibited to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the expectation of Jannah or for Jannah, and it's not prohibited to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the expectation and the desire and the dua to save us from the nar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentioned this in the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this in many, many, many du'as. So therefore, if somebody says that I am worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because I want Jannah, alhamdulillah, there is nothing wrong with that. Please do that. What I am talking about is something which is a step higher than that, which is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that does not mean the person doing that does not want Jannah or he wants to be in the fire. No. It means that the person is focused on the asal. He is focused on the real thing. The rest of it will come anyway. Because if you have Allah, and that's why Rasulullah said, the one who wants Jannah will get Jannah. The one who wants to be protected from the fire will be protected from the fire. And the one who wants Allah will get Allah. So, the one who wants Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beauty of this is that think about this, and this is, I was listening to a lot of lectures of one of my favorite shaykh, Shaykh Mutawalli Ash-Sharawi rahmatullahi alayhi. He says that if you want an appointment with an important person, some big shot, then there are three conditions. One is, he will give or deny the appointment. You ask for the appointment, he may give it, he may deny it. So, this is one issue. Secondly, he said that this appointment, he may give you what you want or he may not give you. And third one is that he will decide when this appointment will end. You may have gone there with the idea that I will tell him my whole life story, but after listening to two sentences, he will stand up and that's it. End of appointment. Salaam alaikum. Goodbye. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, when we entered Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the key. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in one place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if somebody greets you, greet him with that, reply to that greeting with that which is better. If someone greets you, reply to that with something which is better. Even when it is a question of somebody is encountering you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, encounter and give it back with better. Idfa billati hiya ahsan. Reply with something which is best, which is better. So when we greeted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us something from Him which is the key to meeting Him. And He gave the key in our hands. Allah did not say, ask me and I will decide whether or not to give you an appointment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Fadhkuruni azkurkum. You remember me, I will remember you. So if you want Allah to remember you, who has the key? You. Allah gave the key to me. I want Allah to take my name on His arsh. Who decides? Me. I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at 9 o'clock in the morning to take my name on His arsh. Who decides? I decide. How do I decide? What do I do? I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at 9 o'clock in the morning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that He will remember me at 9 o'clock in the morning. Fazkuruni azkurkum. In tansurullaha yansurkum. The one who helps Allah, Allah will help him. So I want the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What must I do? Do something which amounts to the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who was somebody does not need our help. Helping Allah means to help the deen of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do something for the sake of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you because this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not lie. Allah does not break His promises. What Allah promised, He will give. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu's karam and His ikram on us, that Allah gave us this in our hands. The reason I began with my example of looking into the halogen light or the example of the elephant and the dogs is because our lives in this world today, at least I'm talking about my life, seems to be filled with these dogs barking. The whole time there are dogs barking. The dogs barking through WhatsApp, and the dogs barking through emails, and the dogs barking through the television, and the dogs barking directly, constantly. And unfortunately, we get engaged with these dogs. And we look at that message, we'll watch that video, or we get all riled up because something is happening somewhere over which we have no control, and all the gastric juices in my belly are not going to solve anybody's problem. or we actually get engaged with some dog actually barking. I mean, it's crazy. Why do you want to bark back at the dog? But that is because we have no focus. We are seeing all the trash and the garbage around us because we have not looked into the halogen lamp. If we had looked into the halogen lamp, all this garbage would disappear by itself. Because then everywhere you turn around, you will only see that light. You won't see anything else. So I remind myself and you, let us focus on that which is important. And that is the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. To remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7, every breath we take, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. To be focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, so that all the trash around us will disappear. Automatically, obviously, for anyone who is getting the thought at this point in time, to say that if I focus on Allah 24 hours, what will happen to my dunya? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. That is the whole problem. The whole problem is that we are concerned with trash. We have become trash collectors. Your dunya is trash. It's garbage. That is why when you go before Allah, all this is left behind. And did you ever think, why is it that you are bathed and covered in a white cloth and you are put into the grave without anything? Because Allah doesn't want you with this trash. Allah wants you as He created you. The other trash we take with us is the amal which we do. May Allah protect us. May Allah remove those also. But Allah has, this dunya's stuff will not come with us. All the gold and diamonds and whatever else that we were chasing will not come with us. Because this is trash. To recognize trash as trash is intelligence. You take it and hang it around your neck is not intelligence. That's what we are doing with our lives. Imagine every second of ours. That second could have gone in saying, La ilaha illallah. That's why Imam Shafi rahmatullah said, this life is an instant. Let it be an instant of obedience. Let it be an instant of remembrance. This 1 second could have gone in saying Subhanallah. Instead, that 1 second went in cursing somebody. It went in listening to some ghibat about somebody. It went in doing something. We know what we are doing in our lives. I don't have to make one list of those things. So I remind myself anew, the time has come to focus and look into the light. And that light is the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, to make tawbah wal istighfar and to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ignore everything else. And the way to ignore everything else is to focus on something else. And what is that something else? That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, His worship. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Imagine, think about this. How is it that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived, his life in Makkah was filled with far more garbage in his environment than you and I have? You don't have Abu Jahl. You don't have Abu Lahab. No, he had them. He had both of them. And he had many more. How was he able to maintain his equanimity? You never have one instance of Rasulullah ﷺ losing his temper. You don't have one instance of Rasulullah ﷺ falling into depression. You don't have one instance of Nabi ﷺ in despair. Nothing. How did he do that? How is it that he was able to live within all of this and yet he was untouched by it? He was pure, he was beautiful, he was unscarred and unmarked. He had a life at that period in Makkah was a life which for anyone else would have scarred him permanently for the rest of his life. You don't find a single scar on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How is that possible? Because he didn't engage with all this stuff. He was focused on his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only gave him victory in this dunya, but Allah protected him from all of this. And Allah mentioned this. Wallahu yasimuka minan nas. Allah said, Allah will protect you. Balligh ma unzila ilayk. Go and propagate. Go and say. Go and spread what has been sent on to you. Wallahu yasimuka minan nas. And Allah will protect you from the people. Today we are running around like, you know, headless chickens, fearing this and fearing that and fearing that, and what will happen if this government comes to power and what will happen? What will happen is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees. No government who comes to power is Allah.
Allah is Allah. What will happen is what Allah decrees. What will Allah decree? Allah will decree what you want Him to decree. But that will not happen if the one wanting is the one who is disobedient, who is indulging in haram, who is doing all kinds of israf, who is causing trouble to everybody around them, who is creating all kinds of trash around them. These are not people. If these people ask Allah, Allah will not give them. Allah will not give them. Allah will give those who are focused on Him. Allah will give those who work for His aims and goals. Not to work against them. So if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us, if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us, then let us get focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on pleasing Him, on ignoring everything which does not please Him. Don't worry about everybody else. Look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do what it takes to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do that for our own interests. Ismail goes for snow leopard photography. At 5 o'clock in the morning, at minus 30 degrees temperature, where is Ismail? In his bed? No. He is with his camera on the mountainside. Why? Because shauk, desire. We do whatever it takes to fulfill our desire. So we need to ask ourselves in our heart, what is my desire for Allah? For anyone who wants an appointment with a big person, we have to go through this wasta, this route, that route. For an appointment with Allah, what do we need to do? Allahu Akbar. Halas. You are in the presence of Allah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the moment it makes his, when he stands in Salah, he is standing before the throne of Allah. He goes into sujood, Allahu Akbar. He is making sajda before the arsh of Allah. Not on this earth, before the arsh of Allah. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam call, what did he call the Salah? Al-Miraj al-Mumin. In Isra al-Miraj, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to actually travel physically from Makkah to Jerusalem to seven heavens. You, for your Miraj, what do you need to do? Allahu Akbar. Khalas. Where you are. If even this we don't want to do, then what is the answer? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes and to open our hearts and to enable us to appreciate the wealth that He has given us and not to live like destitute people when we are in possession of this wealth. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ الرَّحِيمِ